Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, great to have you here with us. Thanks so much for joining us here on Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Boster, here to say we are so glad that you are with us. We are pumped about today, about today's topic, as we always are. But today we're kind of pushing the envelope of our abilities here. Just so you guys know, we want to get this podcast out to you ASAP, and so we're pretty pumped about it. And so I am going to introduce our ever so illustrious co-host, Mr. Michael Shanks. Today, Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks in geekdom land. Hello. Should I say good morning? I mean, we record it in the mornings, but who knows when people are listening to this. They're probably listening to it at all different times. So,
right.
I don't know.
So, hey, it's when we record. It's okay.
Okay. All right.
So, I tell you what, if you're listening and you care or don't care, go to our Facebook page or our website and put a comment in there for us.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And stuff and all that. Hey, you know what else we should ask everybody to do is while we're talking about it. Hey, if you have a topic or something that you want to hear us talk about, we would love to hear from you. We have gotten introduced. What's interesting about Mike and I's relationship, many of you know, and if you're just joining us for the first time, hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're just two guys who have kept in contact. We went to high school together. We met our junior year in high school and have been hanging out ever since. And even though we live in two different states now, the one thing that has kept us together is talking geekdom. And we are so glad that you're here with us. And so with that, Mike knows some stuff that he likes to talk about and stuff I don't know anything about or things like that. I mean, geekdom, I like to talk about some things that he doesn't have a lot of information. So we get to share with each other. And that's been one of the really cool things about, you know, having our times together. And so we would love to hear from you because there may be something that we know about that you want to hear from us. There may be something you want us to talk about that we have not an inkling about.
Right.
But we would have a great time having a conversation about it.
Sure.
And yep. So with that, go to our Facebook page, put a comment in there, share with us your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions about stuff. We want to hear from you. And if there's something you want to talk about, we would love to do so.
You can also contact us on our webpage, the number two, Geeks Mike. So that's GEEKSMIC.com. And you can actually send us a message through our official email. Yeah, our portal. And that is the Two Geeks hub to everything Two Geeks. So you can get to our Facebook page, our Ko-fi page, if you feel inclined to buy us a coffee.
Buy us a coffee.
That would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. All proceeds go to go back into the podcast to help us pay for our broadcasting
fees and fees equipment and,
right,
and all that stuff,
because unfortunately this stuff's not free, but anyway, that's a portal to reach us, and you can also get to our merch page. We got a lot of great merch now, t-shirts, mugs. I still don't have a hat. I'm working on a hat, Steven. I'm trying to get a hat.
I know, thank you. I love hats.
I do too. I do too. I wear a hat almost every podcast. So
yeah. It'd just be nice, Mike, to have a Two Geeks hat.
Blame Zazzle. It's their fault. I blame it on them. they're being a pain.
Yeah. Speaking of cost, yeah, we've got to buy an embroidery fee or something like that.
Yeah, and then they didn't like our logo. Something. Didn't
we gotta
translate real, yeah. So it's a pain. I'm working on it. Hopefully soon we'll have a hat.
Anyway. I appreciate the work that you've done in it, though, to be fair, to be open. That's I really like the merch that we have on there. So,
yeah, we got a lot of great merch.
I should get my shirts pretty soon, too. I ordered and I'm waiting to get all mine. Hopefully they come this week.
All right. So what's our topic?
Oh, our topic today. Okay. Yeah. Cause we could talk, we could just ramble on and on. Mike calls us on the carpet. Cause sometimes we,
but we're actually recording for other people. So we need to get onto the topic.
That's correct. All right. So here's the scoopity doopity. We are doing Bad Batch, Disney Bad Plus Batch. Bad Batch. Yes. So
wow.
We want to get this out to everybody. You know, it just came out this weekend. Well, actually, May the 4th was the first episode. And then we got a second episode, which I did not realize. Many other people probably realized it. Of course, they always release on Fridays, you know, for the new episodes of everything. I'm like, okay. So,
to be honest, I didn't realize it until Friday. I saw somebody post that, episode 2's been launched. And I was like, what? Episode 2? I'm not ready. I didn't realize it.
Right.
And it's like, we got like 14 more episodes after this.
Right. So just to give a funny or insight into our goofiness. So Mike texts me. He says, "Episode 2 is up." And I'm thinking, okay. So Mike, just so you guys know, Mike's been working on getting the videos of our podcast onto our Ko-fi page for those who support us. If you just buy us one coffee, you get access for that month, or you can subscribe, whatever. And so I thought he was talking about that. So I go to the Ko-fi page to try to figure it out. I'm going, I don't see like episode 2 or anything like that on our page. And then it dawned on me. Oh, he's talking about Bad Batch.
Awesome.
All right. So I'll be open with you. I love Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first introduced Bad Batch in the final season of Clone Wars.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh, those are cool characters. I kind of like those and stuff. And then I was like, they're going to do a whole new series with these guys. I'm like, I don't know. They're kind of cool and stuff. And it did break away from the concept of all clones were the same, because technically,
sure,
these are, how did they term them in the show? Defective? They said they were defective clones.
They didn't use the word defective. They used something else. I can't remember. And I watched it twice, and I don't remember what they
Well, we'll talk about episode 2, because episode 2, I think they do say defective. That they're
they might have.
Clones.
Well, yes, because I think, I think Grand Moff Tarkin does call them defective, which I could see Grand Moff Tarkin calling them defective, because he does not support the clones one bit.
Right.
He doesn't
right.
Like
All right, we'll
clones.
Get into that. We'll get into episode 2. Yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves. See, we do that, you guys. Thanks for taking the journey with us.
I'll hear from Theron's. This is going to be good. I'll hear from Theron's super fan that I got to keep you from jumping to the end of the episode. So,
okay, good to know. Thank you. See, we keep each other in check, everybody.
right. We try to. Anyway.
So, I was like, okay, it kind of breaks away from the concept of the clones. And when they introduce new characters, that's fine. They can do that. And they were enjoyable in the Clone Wars. That wasn't too bad. But because of that, I don't know if I was really super excited for Bad Batch.
You know, I'm right there with you.
Really?
When Bad Batch was introduced, I felt kind of the same way. Okay, I like these characters. They're all right. You know, I thought the same thing. They're different. Okay. Mm-hmm. It breaks away from the norm. I kind of like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when they announced that they were going to do a series, I was like, I don't know. Are they really worthy of a series? Do I want an entire series of these guys?
Right.
I really didn't know how I felt about this. So going into this, I wasn't super, super excited. And I got to say, the first couple minutes of this episode, of course, that's also because we got something else that happened in the first couple minutes of this episode. But wow, this is really, really super good.
The first episode was fantastic. I mean,
I have to say,
I'm not saying anything about the second one yet. All I'm saying is that for a kickoff, it was your great action entry point. Like if you're watching a movie, you know how that first 5-10 minutes is always your boom, you know, here's this exciting hook to get you into the story. This first episode got me into the story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and I have to say, okay, I'm not trying to be a, what's the word I'm looking for? Against biblical, I'm not trying to be like, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead. I was just.
But in Dave Filoni, we trust.
Oh. Right.
Because let's face it, this is all Dave Filoni. This is him.
Well, it is. Here's the other thing about, I mean, he's not directing these shows, but I mean, here's what's going to happen. Here's my prediction, realistically. The first season, and what did you say it was going to be? We think there's going to be, what, 16?
Yeah.
Episodes?
I read on Wikipedia that there will be 16 episodes.
There's 16? Okay. Yeah. You know, because you can trust everything on Wikipedia.
Not Wikipedia, Wookapedia. Wookapedia. Oh, that's the Star Wars version of Wikipedia.
Wookiepedia. Right. Okay, Wookiepedia. Good call. They're usually pretty good.
Yeah, I think Wookapedia is more trustworthy than Wikipedia.
Right. So here's how things progress with these shows, in my opinion, on these, the Disney Clone Wars, and even with Mandalorian. The first season is okay. It introduces main characters. It makes some connections to other things. And then the second season is really when it kicks off.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I'm hoping that this may be a little different. I'm hoping it will be. But that seems to be the norm.
Well, I don't know how many seasons we're getting of this, first of all.
Well, it's like anything else. They could kind of see how it goes for the first season. And then second seasons normally kind of happen and they capture you. Because I thought Mandalorian second season was better than the first season, personally.
Well, yeah. Man, that's tough. That is tough. There are some things that happen in the first season. It's like, wow. And then, yeah. Right. And then we got moments in the second. Of course, the ending of second season was just so mind blowing.
It
just destroyed everything. It was like, what did I just watch? Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Right. I only state that because I'm going to make a connection to Mandalorian here in a little bit. So we just talking about the season. Pretty excited about it. Bang up first episode.
I just
enjoyed it. And so it was so funny. So everybody's listening. Mike had watched it before I did. He goes, have you seen this yet? And I'm like, no. And I could just tell Mike was like, oh, I want to talk about it so bad.
Yeah, I did.
You got to watch it, especially the little bit. There's a cameo. I'm not going to tell you anything yet, kind of a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So now is your moment. Let's talk about your...
Okay. So, yeah, I was dying. I was so dying because we open up with the battle scene and everything, and we see the little kid Jedi. And I'm like, who's this?
Right.
Who's this? And then he's bragging about Clone Force 99, which is Bad Batch. By the way, I got to admit, Clone Force 99, that's a pretty badass name. I like it.
It had a nice ring to it. Yes.
Yeah, I like it. And it separates them from the other clones. And I love it how they call the other clones Regs.
Regs.
Fantastic.
Regulus. You're right.
That is great. And then, of course, they're looked at as the total outsiders, the geeks, the nerds, and, I think is funny
because like
they're such a great group. It's like, yeah, but they could kick any of your butts,
Right.
So, but anyway, so we see this little kid Jedi, and he's bragging about Clone Force 99 and all this stuff. And I'm like, who's this kid? Who's this kid? And then all of a sudden, it strikes me. Oh, my gosh. That's Kanan. It's Kanan from Rebels. Oh, my gosh.
I had to look it up, to be honest. I didn't make the connection.
I was wondering.
Because you were like, oh, we got a cameo in the beginning. I'm like, who in the world's the cameo? And I got, who is this kid? So I had to look it up, to be honest with you. And I don't know why. I mean, I should have known, but, I don't know all the details.
Okay,
but
so.
Caleb Doom. Caleb Doom.
Right.
Doom. Okay.
Doom. D-U-M-E. Doom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Caleb Doom is the actual name of Kanan Jarrus. Kanan Jarrus from the Rebels.
Who is in Rebels.
Right.
Who is the Jedi who trains Ezra.
Ezra Miller. Who yeah. we may end
no,
up.
No, no. Not oh. Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller's oh. the Flash.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to Two Geeks in a Microphone, wow. everybody.
Okay, Ezra. Ezra. What Ezra is Ezra's Bridger. Last name? Bridger. Bridger. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sometimes my DC world crosses over into Star Wars.
Everything
and I,
else.
I know that shouldn't happen, but okay. Well, you know, see what it is Ezra Miller's the Flash, and the Flashpoint touches everything. So I figure it's got to touch the Star Wars universe at some point, right?
I got you. Okay.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm
at least
only
in my brain, it makes sense.
Right. I'm only giggling because usually you're the one with the details and I screw them up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll take that one. Anyway,
yes. Ezra Bridger. Yes.
Right.
Who trains Ezra Bridger. And I loved Kanan's storyline in Rebels. I really enjoyed it.
Now, did you know that this was how Caleb becomes, how he ends up separating from the Jedi? See, I knew the backstory. I knew the backstory. The backstory has been around a long time. And as soon as he was introduced, I went, oh, crap, this is it. This is the moment.
This is the moment.
This is the moment. Because I knew that his master gets killed. Because I think he talks about it in Rebels. I don't think it was a subsidiary story, like a comic book story. I think he did tell it in Rebels. It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure he did.
It has been a while. Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he tells a story that his master was killed by the clones. And that's why he distrusts clones so much, you know, which makes sense, which it totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as it clicked, I was like, oh my gosh, Caleb Doom, it's him. I'm like, this is the moment. This is the moment. Oh crap.
Right.
And sure enough, we see her gun down, you know, and wow. Incredible moment. Incredible storytelling.
I love the visual, how you see the face of the Emperor is like, execute order 66, you know? And I was like, oh, this is where we're going to be, you know, kind of a thing in timeline.
And did you see, she actually saw the projection and she heard it. And I think at that moment, she knew exactly what it was. You know, which is wild because we've seen that moment for other Jedi too, like in Revenge of the Sith, and we saw the moment in Clone Wars too, because we got that. And I don't think the other Jedi really had a clue of what was going on. I think she's one of the only ones that actually knew. They just turned on us, you know. And
but she knew
you're
where it
talking
came
about
from.
An incredible
but she
moment.
Knew where it came from and then probably realized the whole spectrum of everything in that instant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate because then Caleb doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it at all. And then of course we have Clone Force 99. They don't know what's going on, which is.
Well, sort of. So let's continue with Caleb for a few moments, and then I want to move into when they go after Caleb and what's happening within the team. I did not know. I couldn't remember the backstory. You know, in fact, I wonder if the RFR guys, the Rebel Force Radio guys, I'm sure they get into the nitty gritty details and make all those connections because they know this. And for you guys who are listening. Mike has kind of made this thing. We have decided we're not going to listen to RFR episodes on stuff that we're going to talk about until after the show.
We
want it to tank. We want you to hear it fresh from us, whatever we're thinking. And so that way, you know, we're not getting ideas from somewhere else, but we're just hanging out, just two guys talking.
Right. I don't want Jimmy and Jason in my head while I'm doing this.
Right.
And believe me, they will be if I listen to them first.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I am looking forward to hearing their show.
Me too.
I will say that the beginning here, making that connection to Rebels, and then also making it, now we've connected Revenge of the Sith, you know, one of my favorite Star Wars movies, bringing that together. Then that brought me back to how we've talked about in the past briefly about that supercut, you know, where they interwove
the
Clone Wars final season with Revenge of the Sith, could they carry over?
Oh my gosh, there's moments of this that could be cut into that too. It's like,
whoa, right?
Holy cow.
Yeah. A new supercut. It's almost like we've got this really cool tapestry that's being woven together with all the different Star Wars shows weaving in. Like this is like a moment in time. And so, great. Now we're going to have a new timeline. It's going to be pre-order 66, post-order 66, you know?
Hey, at least...
Who cares about the Battle of Yavin anymore?
At least all of this connects, unlike the sequel trilogy where nothing connects.
That's for another podcast.
Sorry. I diverged for a second. Sorry.
I know. You see how you see how we try to keep each other on track. Thank you for being here.
All right. Awesome.
Okay. So let's transition. So the opening sequence was great. You could see the Bad Batch, Clone Force 99 come in, do their thing, which was creative, what they did with the tanks and how they came in from the side. I loved how Caleb was like, just wait, these guys are great, you know, kind of a thing. Where's reinforcements? Just five guys, you know, kind of a
right
thing. Like, just wait, you know, and that was pretty cool to see.
And I love Wrecker. I like this kid.
Right.
I think Wrecker is my favorite. He's so
really
fun. Yeah, I think
okay. So those who haven't seen or don't remember, our characters are Hunter, the leader.
Which I got
Mike and I have a difference of opinion on this. I have not shared Mike my opinion yet, but Mike, share yours. When you see Hunter,
oh my gosh,
who do you see?
All I can see is Charlie Sheen. That's all I can see. And what was the movies that Charlie Sheen did? I never actually watched those movies, but
Hot Shots.
Yeah, that's exactly who. When I see Hunter, that's who I see. Okay. I see his character in that.
Now, hopefully, you haven't ruined it for everybody who's listening. Now,
I got to see it, all of you have to see it.
Right. Now, I see a young Sylvester Stallone, Rambo. That's who I saw.
But that's who Charlie Sheen is. He's
I know. Yeah, so he's parodying. I want to see Charlie Sheen. I couldn't. No, I don't see Charlie Sheen. Forget it. That's not going to happen.
I can't see Arnold. All I see is Charlie Sheen.
Right.
He's got the mullet and everything. Even his facial structure looks a lot like Charlie Sheen. Come on. Come on. It's freaking Charlie Sheen.
I refuse to see Charlie Sheen.
You know what? In the next episode, I'm going to be texting you going, hey, Charlie Sheen's on screen. Anyway. Right.
Okay. So we got Hunter, Crosshair, Wrecker, Tech, and Echo. Now, Echo's from Clone Wars. There's a great story arc with him.
Yeah, and, he had a fantastic story, actually. Mm-hmm.
It was neat to see him again. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of where we're at in the timeline, you know, I thought. And then when they hit Order 66. So now on a transition, now I wanted to introduce everybody. I want to talk about what I do not like about this show. Now, I know you have to have tension in the show. I get that. In storytelling, you got to have tension.
Sure. I'm dying because I don't even know what this is.
I don't like that Crosshair, because I love Crosshair.
I love
snipers. I love snipers. I think they're, if I have a chance to play one in a game, that's who I'm playing. That or a medic. How shall I say this? I didn't like that he was still under the inhibitor chip. All of the rest of them were not, except for him, the following orders. And I didn't like it because I didn't like what happens later on. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. When I see a team, I want to see that team face struggles. And I don't mind if they bicker or have issues in between them. But this seemed to be so monumental that he was still under the inhibitor chip and trying to kill Caleb when he thought, oh, here's Hunter. He's going to talk to him. Yeah, they're going to team up with Caleb and then we're going to get some. That's where I thought it was leading. I was like, ooh, now we're going to see Kanan. You know, I had to look it up, but we're going to see Kanan. Oh, we're going to kind of see him tag team up and stuff. And then,
but you got to admit, with their personalities, he's probably the perfect one to be the one who switches sides.
Yes.
You know, because I can't see any of the other characters. I don't see them switching sides at all. So I think as far as personality traits, his personality trait works in that story.
Agreed.
I agree with you. I like his character.
Go ahead.
I like his character. But I think for storytelling purposes, it makes sense.
You are correct. I'll agree with you there. If any of them were to, in this type of storyline, to have that kind of tension or whatever, yes, he would make the most sense to be the one to do that. I don't even think it should be in there though.
Gotcha.
I don't want that because now you've broken up the team, and now my main character, which is the team, for me personally, it's the Bad Batch. Right. That's your main character. My main character is now incomplete.
Yeah. Well, I understand, and it takes an essential piece away from the team too.
Yes, it
honestly
does.
It does. Cause now they've lost their sniper and he's an essential part of the team. So yeah, I get it. I understand. That makes sense. But
unless they'll probably come back and fix it. He'll become part of the team. They'll fix his inhibitor chip just like they did Rex.
Right. Now, see, I saw somebody brought something up. We haven't got into another character because they introduced another character, which I'm dying to find out what your take on this other character is. We get Omega. Is it Omega or Omega? How do you pronounce it?
I know, right?
Because it sounded like Omega. They bounce back and forth.
They do bounce back and forth. Okay. I was paying attention.
I wasn't the only one that heard that then.
Right.
Because I kept hearing,
you know.
I think when she was
Omega
introduced,
is the last letter in the Greek alphabet.
Right.
And so normally it's
alpha and omega, beginning and end. Right.
End. Yeah. And it is synonymous with talking about end or final.
So if her name means end, there's got to be a purpose there.
I would say so. And that she's a quote unquote defective clone. Now here's the other thing.
Okay.
She's
go ahead.
A female clone. She's a female clone, not a male. So I thought that was intriguing.
Right. Now, I don't want to jump ahead, but it is mentioned later in the episode that there's always the Kamonians. I can never say their name right.
That was pretty good.
The people. Yeah. Did I say
Camino.
It? Camino. The Camino.
Those folks from Camino, the Camino.
The long neck people. The long neck people. they always have a purpose. They always have a purpose.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Bad Batches looked as defective, but they weren't defective.
She?
Right. So she has a purpose.
And she does have a purpose. And they alluded to that. You are correct. They did allude to something about her.
So let's talk about Omega. Omega.
Sure.
Omega. Omega. Are we going with Omega or Omega? Omega.
Okay.
All right.
Omega.
Omega.
Let's just say Omega.
All right. Let's go with Omega, because otherwise we're going to back and forth through this whole episode on that. All right. So
for the rest of the series. Yeah.
So Omega is introduced, and she sees Clone Force 99, and she's kind of starstruck by him.
She's fangirl all over.
She's fangirling. I loved it. I actually loved that. That was great. That was fantastic. Yep. And then, of course, Hunter's like, oh, my God, who's this little kid? Why do we have a little kid following us around?
Yeah. Right, right.
But we get introduced to her and the Numidian, the long neck. I hope that doesn't sound bad, but anyway, she tells that she is one of the clones, or she is a clone, and she is also her medical assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So
now,
we have Yeah. What's his face? Your favorite.
What's funny, everybody, is you can see the smoke coming out of his ears as he's trying to process everything.
Yeah, you're not helping me. Your favorite.
My favorite who?
The Bad Batch.
My favorite in Bad Batch?
The character we were just talking about.
Oh, Crosshair.
Yeah, thank you. Crosshair.
Sorry.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to bang my head on something. Anyway, so you were just talking about how Crosshair, how he's the inhibitor chip is still active.
Right.
And Omega is, bum, bum, bum. Oh, yeah, you should have just seen the whole light up in Steven's eyes when he went.
Right. Right. You know what? She didn't have any of that. There is no inhibitor chip in her.
But the thing is, she's a medical assistant.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they removed the chip from Echo. I think it was Echo. Or was it?
It was Rex.
Rex. That's right. Yeah, Rex. Mm-hmm. They removed the chip from Rex. So right. She may be able to assist with removing the chip from Crosshair. Crosshair.
Well, that's where we may go. Crosshair. Okay. All right. So you're telling me there's hope for Crosshair. Is what
there's
saying.
A hope. There's hope. We'll see. I'm not 100% convinced that's where we're going to go, but I'd seen somebody throw that idea out on Facebook yesterday, and I was like, it's not a bad thought, though. I mean, that could be her purpose in this series.
See, somebody put that post out there because they are struggling with the fact that Crosshair went to the other side. Okay?
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. I've seen a few people who are upset that Crosshair has... switch sides.
Okay. Oh, good. So I'm in good company.
Yeah,
then.
You are. You are. Oh, I don't totally disagree with you. I'm just saying for storytelling purposes, it works. That's all.
Right.
I'm not saying I completely like it. Right. But like you said, there has to be conflict in a story, you know, to make it interesting. Right. And you got to admit, this makes it interesting. It makes it look very interesting. Right. So wait a minute.
So what we're saying is we need to disagree with each other more and fight with each other more on the podcast to make it interesting. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, we do that from time to time. I don't think we need any help.
Right. We don't need to plan it.
So now Omega is introduced.
Yes.
And she kind of throws a wrench in the team. Because now they've all essentially become, it's what, five dads and a daughter?
Five dads and a daughter, right? Used to be three men and a baby. Now right. It's five dads.
I mean, come on.
Five defective clones and a girl.
Right. That's what it's kind of become, right?
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
Oh, great.
That's funny.
So now we went from action to sitcom.
Right. Right.
But I gotta admit, I like her. I like her. She's cool.
She's interesting. She's intriguing. She is an intriguing character. At first, I was like, oh, gosh. Okay, we got this little girl. We got to throw a little girl in there. Not saying anything about gender. Just my point is, either it's a little boy. Okay, we got this kid in there.
Right.
And we're like, okay, you know, all right, whatever kind of thing. But then... the more she's in it, you know, oh, she's a troublemaker.
Is she really a troublemaker? I don't consider her a troublemaker. I think she just doesn't know. Good call. Right.
Yes. She's new. Because the biggest thing that we experience with her is she's always been in Kamino.
Right.
She's never been outside of Kamino.
Right.
So good call. Okay, I'll give you that.
So
that's good.
I wouldn't call her a
troublemaker. That's a good perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's just a kid who all of a sudden is taken out of the only thing she's ever known as a world is Kamino, which is, you know, just everything's very sterile. She really hasn't experienced anything in life whatsoever. And now all of a sudden she's off that planet. Out of that atmosphere, and she's experiencing life. I'm assuming she's probably six-ish, seven-ish years old. They didn't really give us an age.
They really didn't, right? And we don't know if she is
Maybe
if
eight
she
at
ages
the most.
Regularly or if she ages quickly.
Oh, that's
we don't know yet.
That's a good point. We don't know if she's like all the other clones where she ages quickly.
Ages quickly.
Or if she's like Boba Fett, because Boba Fett, Jango Fett had requested a clone that aged at regular
normal rate.
At normal rate. So Boba Fett is essentially is an abnormal clone also. You know, from that perspective. Anyway. So yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
Well, why thank you. Thank you. I got kudos. All right on.
You do from time to time.
Well, I know, just every now and then. Okay, so real quick, let's talk about the introduction of another character who we have seen before in other movies and shows. What is Tarkin?
Oh, I love Tarkin. Tarkin's awesome.
Yeah. So my first inclination was, okay, are they just throwing in Tarkin because it's Tarkin? Now, don't get me wrong. I like Tarkin. Are they just throwing him in because of that? Or did they not want to introduce another character? Or they thought they'd get more mileage out of Tarkin? That's where my brain went when I first saw him. First, I thought it was I'm sorry. I agree with you. Once we got in there, I think it was instrumental for him to be the one to say, and here it is. We don't want clones anymore.
Right. Right.
And I was like, okay, this is answering that fan question. Well, how come we don't have clones?
How come the stormtroopers are not clones? The stormtroopers are actually I don't know if you'd call it voluntary army.
Right.
Recruited. That's a better
recruited.
Word. They are recruited army of humanoids and not clones, and where clone troopers are clones.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Rebels, we even get the, like, Rex makes the comment of how stormtroopers are way inferior to clone troopers, and he makes all kinds of digs at stormtroopers.
Right.
Which, okay, right. That I have a love-hate relationship with that whole thing. I get tired of the tired old, stormtrooper can't hit a barn, blah, 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 you know.
Right, right.
Yes, it was funny. It was funny. It's not funny anymore. It's getting old. I'm getting tired of it, you know.
Right.
A stormtrooper does have to have some.
Well, I think the last time that it was funny was Mandalorian episode where they were trying to, the two stormtroopers on the speeder bikes that were outside of town and they were trying to shoot. Something.
I don't know. Even that, I was like, okay, this is way too on the nose.
Right.
You can't hit an object right in front of you.
Right. I think when they introduced that and called it what it is, what everybody's been laughing at, okay, that's the time I think marked, okay, that was kind of funny. You've acknowledged it. It within the actual universe, I think we're done. I think we're done with this. So I agree with you.
Because I think at some point we need to show some stormtroopers with
capabilities.
Yeah, with capabilities.
And that's why we have Bad Batch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, because but they're still clones.
Crosshair can hit the broadside.
But he's still a clone, though. He's still a clone.
But he can shoot.
I know, but he's a clone. And that's what they'll say. He can shoot because he's a clone. If he wasn't a clone, he couldn't shoot. That's what I'm saying. They're still clones. So give me, you know what? I say give me a story on the 501st because that's Darth Vader's handpicked stormtrooper.
Isn't there a book series, 501st?
No, actually, it's the Republic Commando. It's by Karen Travis. I don't want to get into that too much. Anyway, I haven't read the whole series. I have the series. I haven't read it all. They might get into the 501st in there. I'm not 100% sure. But no, I think the 501st was actually, well.
Wait, aren't we getting a 501st show?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. And I hope they're regular stormtroopers that can shoot. That's what I want. I want regular stormtroopers with good abilities.
Right.
I would like this trope to start to somewhat go away.
Okay.
I'm tired of it. I really am.
Right.
But anyway, we completely diverged from the Bad Batch.
Well, we sort of. All right. So we got Rise Skywalker, Mandalorian. Oh, Andor is coming up. Obi-Wan is coming up. Ahsoka is coming up. Rangers, Bad Batch, the Acolyte.
Right.
Rumor is there's Lando.
Right. I don't know if there was a fight. Yeah, I don't think there was a fight.
There's not. There, it would be up here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah. Sorry. So anyway, so we're Tarkin. The whole thing with Tarkin was, I do think it was nice to say, here's the difference of when things change and he's in there and he makes a good villain. It's going to be good to see a villain other than Darth Vader and the Emperor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or something that's more fleshed out that we get to see him more so, if that makes sense.
No, I think that that's perfect sense. I think Tarkin is perfect for this time period, too. Like you said, he is the perfect character to bridge between changing from clones to humans. Because he's expressed his dislike of clones in the Clone Wars, too. Because he's been in the Clone Wars series also. And he expressed it back then. He did not like the clones.
Right.
So right. I think he's perfect. I don't think this was, oh, we just throw in Tarkin just to get more mileage out of him. I think it had good storytelling.
I thought that at first. But then as it progressed, I was like, okay, this is interesting.
And not to mention, over the years, I've become a pretty big Tarkin fan. I like the character. Mm-hmm. I think he's an interesting character. He's got such a good military mind. And he doesn't totally buy into the Force, whether it be dark side or light side. With him, it's all Empire. It's the military. It's Empire. He doesn't really care about the Force. He can care less about that.
Yeah.
It's all about honor, you know, and granted, his honor may be misplaced, you know, but...
Well, it all is about a certain point of view.
Okay, Obi-Wan.
I love me some Obi-Wan.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, me too. We may have a good Obi-Wan discussion coming up, too.
Right. Okay, I do have to ask you this. I need your help with this part of the show. You know, we referenced Mandalorian. This is what I talked about before. We referenced Mandalorian. And in The Mandalorian, we have Fennec comes in, the actress Ming-Na Wen or whatever and stuff.
Right.
So she's listed as being in the show.
Oh, in Bad Batch?
She's in Bad Batch as Fennec.
Where?
So we get her. See, that's the point. I didn't see her.
But I didn't see her.
Someone had a picture or posted a picture or something. I don't know if that's future or past, but I didn't see her in this episode. But I didn't. I wasn't looking for her.
Oh, my gosh. I got to listen to Jimmy and Jason because I'm sure they know.
Right. Right. So that's why I was like, well, you know, is she in there yet? Or are the references she's going
to going to show up then. Maybe.
I think we're going to see her pre-Empire Fall. That because that's really what we're looking at, because
right.
Mandalorian takes place when's Mandalorian? Mandalorian is
like so many years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
So that's quite a few before this still, because
right.
This we're still in between episodes 3 and 4.
So we're going to see a young Fennec.
Wow. Interesting.
Yep.
Wow. And
now, when you look it up,
now
when you
Fennec, look up
to see who's the cast for Bad Batch, she's listed.
Interesting. I didn't look up the cast, so I'm bad. I should have done that, but I didn't.
Well, I was gonna do voices. Oh, speaking of voices, I gotta get this off my chest. Okay. Oh, all right.
Okay.
We were talking about Caleb. Okay. We were talking about Caleb Doom. Okay. I
think it's Freddie Prinze's voice.
It is Freddie Prinze's voice.
He sounded funny. And
it did sound funny. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, he sounds old for a kid. You know,
well,
I wasn't making the connection yet. And then I think that's why, is because since he does it later or trying to do that as a kid's voice, I don't know.
I think what it is he's trying to sound like a young kid. but he's trying to get his voice in there, you know? So, because there's portions of his lines where I listen and I go, yeah, I can hear Freddie in there. I can, okay. I can hear Kanan in there.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Then it'll kind of switch back and it's like, oh, now I just hear sort of this little kid, you know?
It was so weird. It was weird.
And you know
what they were trying to do.
Some voice actors are, I'm not trying to say anything against Freddie Prinze. He's done a great job in Star Wars. I'm not saying anything about his capabilities or anything like that. God knows I can't do his voice. I can't do his voice work. I wish voice I acting. Could. Uh-huh. I would absolutely love to be able to do voice acting like him. So kudos to him. Kudos. But some actors are better at generating a younger sounding voice of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't really mm-hmm. think that's his niche. You know, I don't think, okay. I just don't think he's great at that.
And so we're good at some things. We're not good at right. other things. He is a really good voice actor.
And
he really is. He is talented.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This would be an area of where you're so, but man, you got some great skills over here, you know, right. being able to do this, but just not this. Man, okay.
And I don't all think right. they wanted to bring in a different voice actor because I think they wanted to give the audience this feel of, yes, this is Kanan. This is Kanan when he was a child.
Okay. All right.
So okay. I think, but yeah, I heard it too. I felt it too. I was like, yeah, it sounds a little off. It sounds a little kind of weird, but yeah, I think it's just him trying to project that he's a kid, you know? That's my feeling on it. Anyway. Okay. And here's the other question.
I just had to get that off my chest.
Here's the other question. Are we ever going to see Caleb Doom again? Is that the only time we see Caleb Doom?
Oh, that it was done specifically for the purpose of, right. of giving us timeline. This is where you're at in the timeline.
I mean, to one, give us timeline, two, connect Bad Batch with the Rebels, you know, because it does that right. too. Of course, we get another connection too. It may be just they threw him in for that, and then we could be done with it.
Here's my opinion. While I do like the interconnected tissue, while I do like the tapestry of weaving, you know, you're seeing the big picture and how things are connected. I do enjoy that, but I think you don't have to flesh out every single
right. Right.
hint or everything like that. I think it answers the question or gives us the opportunity for fans to see here has Caleb's beginning that is referenced from another show, and we're connecting that to the timeline, you know, to help. I get Agreed. That. I'm okay with Agreed. That. Do I need to see the rest of Caleb? No, because this isn't Rebels. This is Bad Batch.
Honestly, I don't think we need to because from what I understand, Caleb kind of disappears. Nobody knows where he goes. You know, and then he kind of changes his identity, changes who he is. And he becomes Kanan Jarrus. And, you know, he even refuses to be known as a Jedi at that point. When we first meet Kanan, we don't know he's a Jedi until several episodes later of Rebels. And then we find out he's actually a Jedi. So, I think it's fair that he's introduced. We get his introduction. We get the story of what happened to his master, and then he's gone. I get it. It makes sense to me. So if we never see him, and that could be another reason that they didn't use another voice actor, because they were like, well, we just bring in Freddie, do it, and then we're done with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think so. I will see, I think is a great phrase. It'll be interesting to see how things play out.
Sure.
And I am into the show. I am into it. I thought the first episode was good.
Oh, they
gave me action, gave me story, set up tension between the team, whether or not I like it or not, kind of a thing.
So then we brought in Tarkin.
And we brought in Tarkin.
We
brought in a mystery character in Omega.
Oh, the training scene. I love the training scene. The testing scene, I should say. That was great. The
testing scene.
That was fantastic. So
give me your thoughts. I want to hear your opinion on this, on the testing scene.
Oh, my gosh. Well, to watch the clones in action, to watch Clone Force 99 in action was fantastic. I mean, to see them in this being tested, and then how they took on the those are the same troopers that are used in Mandalorian also, except they're not black. The ones that Luke Skywalker just came in and just completely destroyed.
Right, the Death Troopers.
Yeah, the Death Troopers, right. No, they're not Death Troopers, because Death Troopers are in Rogue One. I forget what they call them. Anyway, regardless. There's something.
They do seem like they're the same, but they're not upgraded or whatever, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. I think they might be the prelude to what we see in The Mandalorian. But,
okay, yep, I'll give you that.
But if you take those two scenes, you know, like when those characters are introduced in Mandalorian, they're almost invincible until Luke Skywalker comes in and just crushes them, but he uses the Force. Mm-hmm. So Clone Force 99, obviously none of them have the Force, and they take them out. And I thought that was impressive.
But they were clever in how they did it.
Right. And they impressed Tarkin, too.
So let's go back to
he doesn't like them. He doesn't like them.
I agree.
But he was impressed with their tactics.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here is what I saw from Tarkin. Tarkin has no regard for the clones. I don't care if they're the Bad Batch or clones or anything. They are property.
Oh, I agree.
Because we saw that when he says, go to live rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Right.
Dude, you are devious, you know, kind of a thing. Which tells me, you know, they're just property. We bought them. We paid for them. You are a tool. There is no emotional connection, where we have developed emotional connections with these characters.
Right.
You know, I enjoy them as characters, but I mean, in general, the concept of clones having personality, and that's why they got nicknames or whatever.
Sure. Sure.
In general, not necessarily the Bad Batch connection, but in general, wait a minute, they're not property. They're people.
Right.
But are they though? Again, we go back to that certain point of view for Tarkin of where, no, they're property. For me, I'm like, no, they're people. I love them, you know, kind of a thing and stuff.
Right.
I enjoy them until Order 66 came by. And then I'm like, I don't know if I like them anymore.
Tarkin looks at them more as a droid, honestly. Mm-hmm. To him, you know, they're nothing more than a droid. And a droid is nothing to most, you know. I mean, obviously, we have droids that have very have personalities and such, like 3PO and R2 and other droids too. And we've become emotionally attached to them, but George Lucas has a famous line, they're like toasters. They're like toasters. So I need to practice my George Lucas impersonation. I can only do it in small snips, but anyway.
Right.
But yeah, that's the way. And I think Tarkin thinks of them, you know, like you said, they're just property. They're they're tools. They're nothing more. I care less what happens to these guys.
So based upon that, are you okay to move over to episode 2?
Oh, wait. Well, no. We have that portion, which then of course that takes the clones on a mission. Clone Force 99, it puts them on a mission because now Tarkin wants to set them up. Then we meet Saw Gerrera, which was pretty freaking cool.
Tarkin was sending them in to kill what they thought were droids,
right?
But it was people. It was what some would call refugees.
Right.
Some would call separatists.
Right.
You know, still the separatists and stuff. And they meet Saw Gerrera. Good call. That was a nice surprise.
I really liked that. I was like, that's cool. Yeah. And that's a nice little connection back to Clone Wars, to Rogue One, because we get, you know.
And the game Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
And
there you go. So then we meet up with Rogue One, and which starts putting the doubt in our team's mind. What are we doing here? You know, and then of course, then they're set up for treason, and Tarkin imprisons
them. And I loved how I didn't really like it, but the whole tension of we're following orders from Crosshair.
Right, right.
Look, hey, orders are orders.
A good soldier follows orders, which we've heard that line in Clone Wars, too. We heard that line when Order 66 was almost implemented in the Clone Wars before Revenge of the Sith. And we had a couple troopers who it like kicked in and they kept saying that over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
A good trooper follows orders or a good soldier follows orders, you know? Mm. So I thought that was a good callback also. I like that.
Yep.
That was kind of cool. As much as we don't like that he's switching sides, you got to admit he works well for that. He really does.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Ugh. So we have.
Still don't like it, but you're right. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We just got that recorded.
Mike, you're right.
You said I was right. So then we go from them being set up for treason. They escape. And then I like what happens next, because next, another throwback to the Clone Wars, we meet up with, I cannot think of his name whatsoever, the clone that defected.
Well, that's episode two.
Oh, was that episode two?
That's episode two.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, because it sets that up. Okay, sorry. It sets that up. I jump.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
It's okay. All right. No, because for the super fan out there, he's going to be yelling at me. I guarantee it.
Jumping. We make You're mistakes. Jumping. We're not perfect.
Tell him that. Anyway. He's going to complain that we don't have Theron with us, too, because he's really Theron's super fan. So, anyhow.
You're right. Yeah. And you know who you are.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do know who you are. Anyway, so they're set up for treason. They break out, and then they're leaving. And then that's when Hunter said, "We're going to go see an old friend." Okay, you're right. And then it sets up. Sorry, episode two and episode one started to blend together. Then.
They do. Yeah. They do. It does blend well.
Yeah.
And that's my point. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think we begin to see the beauty of episode two, moving into episode two, is we now see the transition of the Republic to the Empire.
Yeah.
The practical application of that change and what that means and what they were doing behind the scenes. The change of the Republic credits to new credits, but you had to register it. So they're registering people at the same time, kind of a thing. So
how about Crosshair's line when he says, Republic, Empire, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yep.
Was it Crosshair that said that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was Crosshair. Which makes sense. Because
it would make sense.
He's the only one.
Yeah, we're following orders and all that. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the one that says the line, what's the difference? Which, again, we kind of get that feel with Rogue One when we watch Rogue One. With Jyn Erso, because Jyn Erso makes the comment about looking up at the flag or something, and she makes some similar reference of Republic, Empire. What's the difference? You know, it's still
fascinating. Yeah. How fascinating! Yeah. I don't remember that scene. Well, you do have good memories. That was a good pickup, because I don't remember that scene.
When it's geeky Star Wars stuff, I have good memories.
Right.
So when it's practical things I need every day, yeah, then my memory sucks.
Then you're struggling. I will say,
You know, my mom always used to comment, how is it you can memorize an entire movie, but you can't memorize your homework?
Oh, everybody is saying the same thing right along with it. Yeah, my mom said the same thing.
Good. So you're saying I'm not alone.
You're not alone. Okay. You're not alone, my friend. You're not alone.
That's good.
With episode two, bringing in here's an old friend, you know, who's been living under the radar.
I got to admit, I wasn't sure who that was going to be either.
I didn't know either.
I wasn't sure.
But I liked introducing the concept that there are those who were deserters, clones who were deserters. And I was interested to see if Order 66 was going to affect him, but we didn't get any kind of inclination of that. They did talk about the inhibitor trip, but I don't know. I don't want to say that was a whole plot hole or anything like that. I thought everything answered or everything fed. I'm not that right. I just want to enjoy the story. So,
but I did think about that during the episode because I was like, now wait a minute, did he go through Order 66 at all? Because as far as I know, you know, going if I need to go back and rewatch his episodes, which those are good. Those are really good episodes. But I don't think like I can't remember if he went through what Rex went through, you know.
We don't know.
Cause I don't think Rex, if I remember right, wasn't the only clone that went through that. There was a couple others who also went through the process of having the chip removed or
the chip doesn't work.
Disabled.
I mean, think of it this way, you know, okay. So clover patches, you know what they say that in a clover patch, there is one 4-leaf clover in every clover patch.
That's what they claim.
Now, in that, hey, you know, want to know something? I have found over 20 4-leaf clovers because you take the time to look. My 13th 4-leaf clover was a 5-leaf.
Holy cow.
I couldn't believe it.
You have too much time on your hands.
That was when I was younger. Now. I haven't searched for those. But all right. Anyway. I think it's a genetic thing. The concept behind that is about genetics and that you'll always have something that's different and all. And I think that applies here. Whereas with those quote unquote defective clones, they may have been made, but now I'm applying that genetics concept to the inhibitor chips, that with the inhibitor chips, there's going to be some that malfunction.
Right.
And so I wonder if that's a situation.
Well, we see that with Echo. Echo's doesn't work, but that's because of all the damage that
he went through. Right.
But then it brings us back to why is it Crosshair is he's experiencing it, but the rest of the team is not. And Omega, she knows because she states that all the clones – all the regs received an inhibitor chip. Mm-hmm. But she, the way she says that, she implies that Clone Force 99 didn't. Mm-hmm. So if Clone Force 99 didn't get the inhibitor chip, how come Crosshair is experiencing that? And it's weird because he's not experiencing it the same way the rest of the clone army is. The rest of the clone army is it's more like we are one.
It's the Borg,
right? You know,
Star Trek.
It's more like that. But with him, it's kind of like in the back of his mind, you know, and he just has this thing in the back of his mind: a good soldier follows orders.
That's for Crosshair. I think what's interesting about Hunter, though, is what we see at the end of the first episode is there is a moral code in him that I think supersedes everything else. And as leader of the team, maybe that's his processing power, for lack of a better term, is he has a different moral code. In other words, he has to see the big picture of things.
Well, he questions commands where Crosshair does not question commands. And actually,
they've always questioned commands. They always have. What did they say? They have a propensity to disobey orders.
Right. Yeah. Right. But they always get their mission complete, though.
But they always get their mission complete.
Right.
They may be unorthodox, right? But.
I like that, though. I like it.
I love it. Oh my goodness! Right. Yeah. So that's where the second episode I think did more to introduce us to the transition. We're seeing the transition of the Republic to the Empire, and the Empire instituting more control measures, things to control the people.
Yes.
And we see the examples of it. Hey, you don't have your whatever cards, whatever it was that they were saying.
Oh, I forgot what they called those. Something yeah, chain or something like that.
Chain codes.
That's it.
Where's your chain codes? Yeah. You know, that's like saying, where's your passport? You now have to have a passport. You know what I'm saying? I know what else you're thinking.
Let's go Indiana Jones. Papers. The Germans. Yeah. I mean, right. That's what we're
seeing. Where are your papers?
Let me see your Jewish star. Let me see your Jewish star. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how he throws them out the window. In Indiana Jones.
No papers.
Or the Last Crusade. He throws them out and then he says, no ticket. You know, and they're all like, where's the ticket? Right.
That is one of my favorite scenes. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So
I love it.
Man, 3 degrees of Star Wars go from Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford, Han Solo.
Harrison Ford, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, and Indiana Jones is a Lucasfilm. So yes, it all fits. It all fits.
It's all good. Yeah. I will say that, you know, seeing the Empire, seeing those control measures come into play, I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting because it did add more tension, especially in the second episode. Like, gosh, how are they going to get on the transport?
Right.
How are they now going to?
See, episode one was a lot more action. We had a whole lot of action. Episode two was more story building.
And not just story, but world building.
Right. Granted,
Here's what makes it. I mean, we all know Star Wars. And like, okay, here's the world. We understand the world. But what it did differently in world building was now showing how the Empire was maintaining control,
right,
or instituting more control than what was there before, and why people would start the rebellion,
right,
kind of a thing, is right, too much control.
Yeah, I like the story building that we got in episode two. See, I enjoyed episode two. I thought it was good. But yeah, it wasn't as good as far as action goes. But we learned more about Omega. Because we get into that aspect of, you know, how at the beginning of the episode, you said that Omega was a troublemaker. And I said, no, I don't think she's a troublemaker. And when we saw that in this episode, because when she runs off, you know, because
she's being a kid,
her and the other kids are playing catch, and the ball goes off and it goes beyond the fence. And the one girl says, no, it's beyond the fence. And you can tell she's the motherly type.
The kid was a motherly type,
right?
Yes.
You have those kids that are more okay. All right, I'm the head.
I'm in charge. Parent is here, right. So I want to make sure you're taken care of.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you could tell she was that person because when they start heading inside, she's like, "Where's Omega?" She's freaking out because Omega's not there. You know, you just seen that little motherly instinct in her, which I thought was cool. I liked it. I liked that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the ball goes off, and they say, oh, we'll get it later. It's beyond the fence. Now, they don't explain why going beyond the fence is bad.
Well, my first thought was there's probably booby traps out there because that's what they ran into when they came to the farm area. That's where I went. But then it was like, oh.
No, we got one of those creatures that we got in episode two, Attack of the Clones, that they used in the.
I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah, it's the one that goes after Padme when they're right, on those columns and it scratches her. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I can't remember what those things are called.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're wild looking creatures though. I like it. It looked good in the episode too, and it looked ferocious too. And especially to like a little 8-year-old kid. I mean, can you imagine that thing coming at you? Oh, crap. This thing's going to eat me. And she's never seen anything like it at all, ever.
Right.
That has to be terrifying.
Mm-hmm. I do. You know, with that situation about taking care of a kid and the trouble they can get into. Thank you very much.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The theme that got introduced, I think it's going to carry us through this first season, is about the relationship between Hunter and Omega as a parent or caretaker of a child. And I thought they introduced that very well with with the.
So you think Hunter's going to play the dad role, and Wrecker is going to play the goofy uncle role? You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like how you said that. Absolutely. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I love Wrecker. So I think Wrecker is my favorite Clone Force 99 character. I think he's awesome.
He's fun.
He's a lot of fun. So and of course when he shows up.
I like my Sylvester Stallone Rambo Hunter guy.
you mean Charlie Sheen, right?
No, don't say that.
Oh. I'm gonna text you a picture of Charlie Sheen.
No, don't you dare.
Anyway,
I think it's a great scene that they're setting up and introducing. I think first episode was what?
Okay, Charlie Sheen, the kid, Wrecker, 2.5 Men. Of course, she's a girl.
Right. Oh, great.
I just connected again to Charlie Sheen. That's great.
Stop.
I can't help it. I can't. I look at him and all I see is Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Sorry. Okay.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. Okay. You're done. I'm done.
I'm off that subject.
Okay. My point being, first episode, great introduction, great action, reintroduction of the characters, throwing in some cool, fun, not only fan service, but Easter eggs. And then the second episode, I'll give it to you, did more story building, world building, and introducing the themes that I think are going to begin to carry us through the rest of the season.
Right.
What are your thoughts on overall?
Overall, I absolutely love the first episode. I think it's fantastic. I agree with you. We got a great reintroduction to the team. When you say fan service, I don't think fan service is a bad thing. I hate it when people are like,
they're just paying fan service.
Yeah, I hate that. No. It drives me crazy.
No, I think fan service is a positive thing. I don't see anything wrong with it.
I do too. As long as it's not like over the top, you know. I don't think anything in this was over the top. You know, bringing Tarkin in, that might be slightly fan service, but no, I think it fit. I think it fit perfectly.
I think he's a great villain that I look forward to getting to see fleshed out even more.
Right. So, yeah, I love some of the surprises we got in episode one. I absolutely think episode two is a great, great story building episode. Again, not a lot of action, and that's okay because not every episode has to have all action. And
why not? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Because you got to have some storytelling. If there's no storytelling, it's nothing, you know.
There's a difference between storytelling and filler episodes.
Exactly. And I don't feel this was a filler at all.
I wondered though, but there were some good themes that were brought out about it. Yes.
Right. Because like you said, we got kind of the introduction of the relationship between Hunter and Omega, which was good, which was very good. We got all the connections of the Empire and seeing the buildings of the Empire, like you said, and how they're gaining control over the galaxy. Which is something that has been in question in the past. It's like, well, how did they manage to gain all this control? And now we're starting to see it, and it makes sense. It really does. They're putting the pieces of the puzzle together really well. So, I think that's a good way to describe this. They're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So, and I think this, if this was a filler episode, it wouldn't be a good puzzle piece.
Right. Know? It's kind of like, I like your analogy because it's like we're putting in the frame of a puzzle. You know how you always, where are my end pieces?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Let me put those all together.
Yeah. Let me put the edges together and then find the existing colors that match. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. Yeah. I
think that works.
It's an analogy or a metaphor? It's a metaphor.
I don't know. I'm not a good English student. Right.
That's good. Any other
You're gonna make me do thoughts? Math problems next too?
I have math story problems coming next. I hated those story problems.
Yeah, you remember when I was falling asleep for Mortal Kombat? You start doing math story problems, I'm going to sleep.
Oh, man. All right. So if you were, let's give our ratings. We normally do it at the beginning, but we'll do it at the end. If you have to give it a rating.
Are we rating this as two separate episodes, or are we going to combine them?
Let's just combine them. We've been talking about them combined. Right. Let's just combine them.
Yeah, because it really did blend together.
Blend together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Go ahead. You go first.
All right. I will give it, I will give it 4 out of 5. I kept trying to think, pick something.
I know.
Some other item. I couldn't think of it. I was clone troopers. I don't know. I can't be clever for all of a sudden. 4 out of 5.
How about blasters?
4 out of 5 clone troopers. 4 out of 5 clone blasters.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
I don't know the specifics of what blasters they use, so we'll just call it the generic Star Wars blaster.
Blaster. All right.
So you're giving it 4, you said?
4 out of 5.
Four out of five.
It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think I would go with that. I think I'll go with 4 out of 5 blasters also. Because, yeah, I thought the storytelling in this was great. The action in the first one was great. I really, really like Clone Force 99. I think they're fantastic. Let's go with 4.
Sweet.
4 out of 5.
Okay. So. Right on. Cool. All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for our, Bad Batch episode. Yeah. I want to get this out there because it came out and share our thoughts. Hey, if you agree with us or disagree with us or want to have conversations, please, again, check out our Facebook page. But if you go to our website, twogeeksmike.com, that's the hub. You can get to everything from there. Our Facebook page, website, our Podbean, where our podcast is hosted, as well as our Ko-fi page. If you want to support us, we'd love it. We got extra stuff on the Ko-fi page if you do support us. It's designed where if you just buy us a coffee, $2, you have access to everything for that month. So it's not like you have to be top tier $15-$20 a month or anything. But hey, if you want to give us $15-$20, we would love that. Cause again, it goes to pay all of our costs for the podcast. So we appreciate it and stuff. So man, with that, boy, this was we were really talking through this one.
Well, we had a 70 minute episode and then the regular
30 minutes. So 100 minutes to go through in 100 minutes.
about that.
All right, Mike. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. And if you made it all the way through the end, thank you. It's great to have you with us as we talk. And we do want to hear from you because we just love you guys and appreciate just the feedback that we're getting about the podcast. And it's just been fantastic. Mike, it's up to you to close us out, my friend.
All right. With that said, over and out, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.